The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Okay, if we're giving random shout-outs to Chicago radio shows, Parkins and Spiegel, obviously the best.
Afternoons on the Score.
Well, back to Matt Eberflus. You know, he talked about building championship habits, championship traits. That's what this is all about. And he goes, I want my guys under pressure. I want to see how they respond, because then I know who I can count on, who I can rely on, you know, during the good times, who's going to be locked in.
Mark Schlereth from the ball game the other day. Bears bye week is here. They gone. It's the usual schedule. As you know, Ryan McGuffey from NBC Sports Chicago, usually on a Tuesday get the off day, but then tomorrow we get the coach again and we get the quarterback. Thursday we get the coordinators. Friday we get the coach again. We're not getting any of that. We're done. Everybody's gone. They are away, and do Bears media, your Bears guys, like, they take a break now?
It's no break. Because now you're talking about, like, you know, how to watch. I mean, not that there's any kind of thing with the Army-Navy game this weekend, but now everybody's doing mock drafts. There's no break. Yeah. There's no break.
People have moved on to mock drafts and, like, scouting the schedules that remain for the three-win teams.
How to watch this weekend's games. Yeah. You know, like how it impacts, like, the Bears' picks. Like, okay, like, if Houston loses, like, I mean, that's right. There's no breaks.
Like, who are we rooting for?
I'd say I do recommend taking the break, but let's be honest. Here we are talking about them.
Yeah, well, we are talking about it. See, here's the thing. It's been – I haven't had a chance to talk about this with you, this conversation that has kind of dominated the landscape of, like, the team not learning how to win, Justin Fields not showing you that he can just yet make plays at the end of games to win, yada, yada. And we know that there's lots of specific reasons as to why it has not happened from game to game. But it's okay to acknowledge the sheer volume of winning opportunities that have been presented to the players and to the fans and media to observe. There's a reason that this conversation is dominating. I mean, it might have anyway, but here's the deal. There have been 8 games, 10 total times over 8 games, where the Bears offense has taken over possession with under 6 minutes to go and a chance to tie or go ahead. Eight games, awesome. And that's all Fields. It obviously wasn't the Simeon game. So 8 times they've been given a chance, and you've got to watch, what are they going to call? What are they going to do? How is Fields going to respond? How are they going to protect? Do they have wide receivers to go up and make plays? And most often those answers have been
no,
especially there at the end. But that's a crazy amount, isn't it?
That's it. Yeah, that's an outstanding amount. You want that number to continue going forward. You want it to be 8 times with a chance to – either have the lead or take the lead going forward. And I'm talking about in the years to come. And what you want, the big difference is you need to see the wins. You know, you want to see 3-10 become 10-3, right? Like Peyton Manning was 3-13 and then went 13-3. But Peyton Manning had a lot of things. I'm not going to compare Peyton Manning's second year and what could happen next year with Justin Fields. I know he was a rookie last year. I know this was year two. But let's call this year like year one in this system going into year two.
Yeah.
Speaks, they don't have the talent. Like, I would ask you, like, on the 53, how many of these guys are going to be back?
Well, a lot more than you think, probably, because turnover's hard.
Turnover's hard, but you're going to have a plethora of picks and a ton of money to spend.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a lot of new faces on this team. You have to, so that number in the fourth quarter can change to W's. You have to. They don't have – I like the fact – look, you know, this year was about one thing and one thing only, about Justin Fields.
About finding out,
about
clarity.
Going in, because then you'd have all those picks and all of that money that if you need to spend your resources on a franchise quarterback, you had that ability to. Now what you do is you pivot and provide number one, QB1, with the necessary resource. And we talked about it in transition, of now saying you're identifying this guy as your franchise quarterback.
What does he need?
What does he need?
What do we have to do?
He needs help up front. He needs help outside. Spend the money on those guys. Spend the money on the playmakers who can come back to the football in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You know?
Both of them. Both those picks.
Yeah.
EQ St. Brown on the well-documented one with Jair Alexander, and it hasn't gotten much love, but Dante Pettis sees that ball coming and just keeps kind of drifting towards the sideline as opposed to even doing anything to help his quarterback out.
Yeah, I mean, Ohio State currently has better receivers than the Bears. And look, with all due respect to the Pettises and the Pringles and the N'Keal Harrys and all those guys, I just don't – there's just not talent there to take the Bears to the next step, to transition that into wins. Now, has it been perfect? Have the Bears had the opportunity and blown it? I don't know if I've necessarily seen some of the best play calls in those eight instances. But what I'm not going to sit here and blame Luke Getsy for the Bears being 3-10 either, because I've seen development from Luke Getsy as well to identify the fact that they may have a quarterback and seen the progression. I mean, Sunday was Justin Fields' best game as a Bear.
Without
right?
a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a ton of tremendous pocket passer moments, a ton of tremendous playmaking moments, and a couple mistakes in there for sure. But unbelievably impressive, and yet another explosive long run. So, but like that volume of situational failure has left a mark with some fans and some media, because it tests the belief. Even in a year when we all know losing is helping draft position, it still tests your belief and like stretches how much you're willing to kind of overlook and just kind of live through and be okay with. But we wonder about it testing the will of the players and testing the vibes in the locker room. I wonder about that. So anytime that we get to hear from certain players and hear about that, it's worthwhile. To me, it is very worthwhile to get a chance to hear some of that stuff. So let's listen to a couple people on that. This is Justin Fields with Mark Grody, our Mark Grody, after the game. His first interview that he always does is with our guy Mark Grody right after the game, before he goes in and talks to him at the podium. And this is about the vibes in the room, even as they are now 3-10.
Is there a positive vibe in here right now?
I think it is. Like I said, I think we played well. I think there were just a few plays here and there that, ended up being big and, resulted in a loss. But I think, I think the passing game definitely took a step today. And, protection, they did a great job. The O-line did a great job. But I think, just overall, just proud of the guys, the way they fought, the way we played. And, I think we took a big step today, though, for sure.
So that's Fields feeling like they took a big step and the vibes are positive. And that makes sense. It's the way they should feel in terms of the quality of play. You think they understand that they're shorthanded and undermanned? Hell, Fields said it about two different position guys after the game, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, look, losing sucks. I mean, these guys are all pretty much accustomed to winning. I mean, look at Ohio State. Look at Justin Fields in high school. I mean, all these guys are the elite of the elite when they get to the Bears. Let's be honest. They know what talent they have. They know how many first-round picks are on their roster versus other rosters. And they also understand that there's a transition in the entire organization. They have a brand-new GM, a brand-new head coach, and a quarterback that every player on board now, when they talk about Justin Fields, are starting to say, not even starting to say, the Bears are buying in. And you have other people around the league now talking about a Bears quarterback for the first time that we've never heard this.
No.
We've never heard this. And that buzz is building. Nobody, whether to the fans, I get it. Like, this is once a year you get the Bears. We're all Bears fans. You buy in, and it's upsetting. You invest. You go to Soldier Field. You tailgate. You're sitting there every Sunday going, well, but at the one play in the Minnesota game, we had this.
Yeah.
Flip the script on a few of the game, the Commanders game. So what?
Darnell Mooney comes down with that ball.
Okay, like, best case scenario, they win three of those games right now. And so what are they, 6-7? And you're going, well, they could make the playoffs.
They're in the hunt.
They're in the hunt. I mean, they're not in the hunt because they can't hang with any of these teams. And the reason they're 3-10 is because they don't have the talent to win. But they have the talent moving forward, and they've answered the biggest question that they have needed to have answered heading into 2023. The biggest question is answered.
Matt Eberflus has talked about what he's most proud of with this team, that even with the losses, he feels like they have they've learned some things that he's been trying to instill on a weekly basis. This is Matt Eberflus from yesterday at the podium.
Just the land foundation. I think that's evident to everybody who watches our games. The foundation we're laying in terms of how we play, the intensity which we play. You can see a spirited team out there, a team that perseveres through adversity, which is what you need. You know, we're trying to build championship habits. I keep telling the guys that. It's championship habits. Every single week, one week at a time. And that's what we're trying to build, because we're building a champion, and that's what we're doing. So it's very important for us to go about the process of that. So that's what we're most proud of. You know, the culture is there, the way we treat each other with respect. Guys work their tail off every single day, and that's what I'm most proud of. And our coaching staff has done a great job of leading the group, you know, early on. And now we're starting to see the leadership of the team. We can see those guys starting to rise up, you know, like Justin and different guys on the team.
So I like it a Fluce. I do. He's very basic. He's very coachy.
Yep.
He is about culture. He's about togetherness. He's about habits. He's about keeping it simple. He's obviously about the hits principle. I think it all can work and it's all fine as long as you've got enough schematic understanding and enough like game management understanding. Keeping it simple and being a builder of culture, I'm totally fine with that in a head coach.
1,000%. And here, you know what? You want to see buy-in? You know what buy-in is? Being in 8 fourth quarter games with a chance to win. That's a group that's buying in and being in games that a lot of people, odds makers, fans, et cetera, were told that they aren't supposed to be in this game or even be close to winning this game.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, take that for example, with 16-3 Bears, it looked like it was going to be a runaway. Now, I knew Aaron Rodgers was going to do Aaron Rodgers things. The point is, we've seen the complete 180 of that, which is complete tune out, Matt Nagy. When they tuned Matt Nagy out, all pretty much from the start last year, that everyone knew he was a dead man walking.
Yeah.
When that thing, like when they tuned him out in week 5, that thing was,
it was ugly, man.
Excruciating to watch.
It was excruciating. It was excruciating just to listen to him.
Everything about it. And he would do his coach speak too, but you knew it was all BS.
What was worse, listening to Tony La Russa post game?
Oh, come on.
Or listening, I'm serious. Or listening to Matt Nagy three times a week.
get the man a lozenge.
I know, but Nagy was lost.
Bob Beckel, can you give Tony La Russa a little bit of water, please? Bob Beckel, come on.
Bob Beckel.
I mean, yeah. I would just kind of like skip through the Nagy. We didn't need it. We're good. You know, we don't need to hear like, all the pot. No,
we couldn't skip through it.
Oh, geez.
Here on the score.
I know.
We sat here and listened to it.
It was trash. And then you'd go in the locker room and hear all the sound from the players. It was the complete opposite of what the coach was telling you. They were pissed about losing. They didn't like, I mean, they started calling coaches out near the end, too. So that's what I love about Eberflus. I thought early on, like in the beginning press conference, to start the season, or at his head coaching press conference when he was named, you know, the hits principle. I'm like, okay, this sounds very high school-y. Like, you buy into that to the young guys. It all makes sense.
Sure it does.
You're trying to build something sustainable going forward with or without these guys, okay? So all these guys are playing for jobs, whether it's with the Bears or anywhere else. And there are guys like, Jack Sanborn's like one of the best stories. Like, he's probably a Bear, like, going forward. And I think Eberflus is the right guy right now. I don't know 3-4 years from now when it's time to win, if that's going to be the case. There's a lot to be proven.
3-4 years from now?
Well, no.
How about two?
Yeah, two.
How about maybe even one?
I think next year in the hunt. Next year
they better be in the hunt. It's the NFL.
Money. You can buy your way out of in some ways, not always, but the fact that they have draft capital for the first time, like since what? Before Jerry Angelo?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, we don't know if Poles is capable of pulling this off, though. You know what I mean? Like, we think we know that the system is in place. But where I can resonate with fans and the skepticism is, I think there's like nervous optimism. That's because we've never had a quarterback ever.
Because now it's a different problem.
Yeah.
Now it's building a team around the quarterback, which we haven't had. I mean, we had it a little bit.
The thought process with
Cutler the first couple years was, no, he just needs an offensive line. No, he just needs a good running game. No, he just needs a big-bodied, true number one wide receiver, and maybe I have those in reverse order. But every year he needed something until eventually you're like, no, he still just doesn't quite have it, does he?
Yeah, I mean, Cutler was, you know, he was not a great leader. Right? He didn't have all the tools that great quarterbacks have. You know, he just had that kind of the jerk face and all that stuff. I don't think they did a great job of actually
building around him.
Cutler. I mean, they were still, go back and look. They're still drafting defense. They're still spending money on defense. Yes, they made Devin Hester a receiver.
I know, but they had Forte, Alshon Jeffrey, and Brandon Marshall.
They did.
At one point. If you can't have an explosive top-tier offense, that is on the quarterback at that point.
I'm not going to make excuses for Cutler.
It sounds like you are.
Okay, fine. That's how bad the Bears have been, and that Jay Cutler's the best quarterback in Bears history. We still talk about look, I'm going to pull this up as we're on the air.
Okay.
We still talk about 1995.
I know.
Eric Kramer.
Oh, dude,
season.
I love that team.
It's insane.
It was Wani's finest hour.
I love that team as well.
Jeff Graham, baby.
But the fact that 29 touchdown passes.
Oh, I know.
And 3,000 whatever yards.
That's
is still
the best
a
year
a
quarterback has
year.
Ever had.
Meanwhile, if you look at the NFL stats right now, how many quarterbacks have 3,000 yards through what? Week 13? Are we in week 12?
We're in week 12.
Okay. How many quarterbacks?
I don't know how many quarterbacks.
Seven.
Seven already have 3,000 yards?
Yes. Yes. Jared Goff, Geno Smith.
Jared Goff.
Like, these guys are going to go well over 4,000. And you have this week alone, that list will grow to 14 by the week's end. It'll be 3,000 guys, or 14 guys with 3,000 yards.
3,000 would be a lot. But yes, so it'll be 14 guys with 3,000 yards by the end of the week?
Correct.
There's that many or that close?
Correct.
Some of them might be on
a
bye.
That's true. There are a few on a bye. Maybe you have 2980, 2940, 2933,
wow.
2875, 2864.
Yeah, league is different. That's
amazing.
And
for the first time ever, the Bears are going to be in that conversation.
So now we got to figure out how to put together the puzzle. One more on the vibes in the room. A dude I love on this team, and I know he's not a starting safety, but he is going to be for the rest of the year, DeAndre Houston Carson, as an old head vet, stepping in and leading a batch of patchwork corners along with our guy Jalen Johnson.
You got DeAndre Houston Carter.
Yeah, or him. I like both of them. I prefer Carson because that's an actual human, but DeAndre Houston Carter's all right. So you got Elijah Hicks and Josh Blackwell playing the slot corner and Jalen Jones, and here's DeAndre Houston Carson on how they worked out, how they worked together during the course of the week to build what was clearly a pretty damn good camaraderie there, especially in the first half against Green Bay.
Very proud and not surprised whatsoever. The way that we prepared this week, the way we talked and communicated, and the way everybody was playing for each other, I wasn't surprised.
What allowed that to come together as the week went on?
I think it really comes down to a couple of things, like really how we prepared all week. Like we just how we watch, you know, we watch a lot of film together. Really, we're communicating, you know, spending extra time with each other, talking. And really, I think that creates a lot of confidence in one another and you know, bonding. So I was really proud about with the guys. Obviously, you know, it's disappointing. We want to come away with the win and do what we can to come away with the win and get some takeaways and change the game in that aspect. But not discouraged whatsoever, you know, because like you said, we really played our game. They got a couple plays kind of here and there, but I think we played as hard as we could and did everything this week, you know, to put ourselves in a position to play the best that we can. So in that sense, you know, I feel like we can hold our hands high because of the way that we prepared this week. You know, we really prepared with each other, you know, communicated a lot. And so because of that, I'm proud and I'm not really surprised at all at the way that we played, you know, because I think when you really prepare together and love each other, you know, it's no limit to what you can do. And everybody doubting us, and we know everybody doubting us, talking about, you know, the backups and this and that, you know what I'm saying, got to go against Aaron Rodgers, and we take that personally, you know what I'm saying? So we approach this week, you know, probably with a different type of mentality. So I'm really proud of the guys, disappointed at the end, you know, that we couldn't finish it off, but not discouraged at all because we gave everything we had, both in preparation and on the field. So in that sense, you know, I can say for myself and the group, I feel like, you know, we were a success.
Man, I like that.
If you ever want to hear culture in a soundbite, that's what it is.
There it is, right?
That's culture in a soundbite.
Now, this guy predates Eberflus. He's lived through a lot of, you know, a few different coaches here. But, I mean, that guy understands exactly what is supposed to happen. It's just the way he talks about it. It's any sport, isn't it? When they're talking about, we're just talking about the game all week, talking about what we got to do, staying connected, and they played like it.
Football's different, though. Football's different. It's the best game. To me, it's the best game there is because the lessons, like all the things he was just talking about right there, like I had goosebumps because it takes me back to like things that, you know, people don't see, the work that's being put in, the camaraderie being built. You knew when your team was garbage. You knew when the coaches that you weren't buying in. And this is at college level. So you could see through some of the BS. And to know that they had to do that year in and year out with Matt Nagy after the 12-4-18 season, right? Mm-hmm. And by 19, we were seeing – it was already setting in. The culture had changed. Guys were buying in like, this is BS. But what DeAndre Houston Carter was just talking about right there, that's the stuff that's the stuff that's going to build this thing next year and certainly in year three. Like year three, this team should be ready. If that's the culture that's being formed here,
mm-hmm.
The guys are coming into it. They're not learning it. The guys that they're going to acquire and draft, they're walking into the culture that's already set. And they're going to hear about it when they sign here or drafted here. They're not going to have to be the guys that they're forced to build the culture. They have a leader in number one, and everyone's buying in.
Ryan McGuffey played college football and was feeling that, getting chills. So I allowed him to say it's football's the best game. It was rough. It was a tough moment. It's a tough moment for me personally. I just, you know, I struggle a little bit.
I think that's the best. It's you learn the most about yourself and each other through that game, Speaks. Sorry.
No. Hey, you know, I'm listening. I've got an open mind here.
What's great about baseball? It's like you have no say in it.
I'm familiar with what's great about baseball.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go.
But you talking about football like that? Well, let's continue the conversation a little bit. You want to hop in? You can at 312-644-6767 on the lessons of football. But really, I want to talk about this new opportunity that we have as fans, a new opportunity that the Bears have as an organization, and how to build from here. We'll do that next on 670 The Score.
RickandEagle.com 773 Network.
You know you should be saving your hard-earned money in a safe place, but there's a difference between letting it just sit there and watching it grow. With Wintrust's great new rates on savings accounts and CDs, you can start earning more than ever before. Make the switch today and get more interest and our award-winning customer service. But act fast. These great new rates won't be here for long. Learn how much your money can grow at Wintrust.com/lockyourrate. Banking products provided by Wintrust Financial Corp. Banks. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
It's all about being at the top of the route right here with Equanimeous St. Brown. You see how slow he is coming out. Jair Alexander is sitting there. Now, he's been beat over the top.
Yeah. I mean,
he's been beat over the top, and he's still sitting on that route. He sees the receiver chop his feet, slow down. You got to be able to come to a stop from a full-speed sprint and drive back to the football. He doesn't do it. That one, to me, is on your receiver. It's not on your quarterback. That's just a poor route run by Equanimeous St. Brown.
Ouch! Tough times for EQ St. Brown. Called out by Mark Schlereth on national TV. Called out in really damning, bus-tossing fashion by Jair Alexander, his former teammate. Woof, who went after him hard, and a subtle bus toss from his quarterback, Justin Fields, as well. So, tough times to be Equanimeous St. Brown. And by the way, his brother is having a Pro Bowl caliber season in Detroit.
Yeah, he's on my fantasy team, but that's all I'm taking credit for on that fantasy team because it's garbage and nobody wants to hear it. But yeah, it's look, it was a bad route. I thought the effort was even worse, I hate calling out effort, but I just didn't think there was a lot of want. In that possession or that ball, and if you're a receiver, every receiver, me included, we all think we're wide open all the time, and you want the ball every single play, including runs. And so I just didn't feel like there was a lot of want in that play, and you know the callouts are going to happen more than ever now with social media. But Speaks, the question really is going forward.
Yeah,
you know, what are you looking at in terms of the receivers who are on the roster now? Will they even be here next year?
Well, here's the fun part, right? And I'm glad that the Bears are trying different things. I remember when I started in with Dan McNeil 2009, a name we used to kick around a lot was Patty Driscoll.
Mm.
You know why we would bring up Patty Driscoll? Because that was the last time the Bears had hired a head coach who had previous head coaching experience. So that was the thing for a while. I was like, they're always looking for the cheap guy who they can groom. They're not going out and getting somebody. Well, that ended with John Fox. They hired a head coach with previous head coaching experience. Didn't really work out very well. Okay, but that one went away. Then I remember when they hired Matt Nagy, I realized, having done the research, that was the first time they ever went after the hot offensive coordinator from an explosive offensive team. Like, that was such a common freaking paradigm. All those years when Bill Walsh would lose guys from his staff to go be head coaches, then Mike Holmgren, who was from the Bill Walsh tree, lost guys from his staff. And now we see it all the time with Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay and all this stuff. Like, the Bears had never, ever done that in the history of their franchise till they did it with Matt Nagy. Unfortunately, he only knew one offense, and when it stopped working, he stopped being effective and useful. Okay, but and now here we are. What they've never, ever done before or had to do before is build around a young franchise quarterback. Mm. So we're kind of checking boxes off here as I think about the last decade. And right now you got a young, clearly a franchise quarterback on a rookie deal, and you got two more years of a $5 million cap hit next year, a $6 million cap hit the year after that, which is freaking nothing for elite quarterback play. So how do you build around him? What do you do around him? We have never in this town had to have the conversation of how do we build around a young, cheap franchise quarterback, hopefully building yourself a five-year window of success.
Yeah, it's a copycat league, and the Bears never, they were the one team going, you know, maybe we shouldn't do what everyone else is doing for decades.
Yeah.
And here we are, finally, as you mentioned, checking the boxes. We know what I just want to see how much is going to be invested into Fields, because you take best available, but I'd spend my first three picks on offense.
All right, so that's the question. Yeah. What do you want to do? How do you want to do it? And your first three picks, you say you'd spend on offense.
Yeah, we definitely. I mean,
have you watched this defensive line, dude?
They're bad. They don't get to the quarterback.
Doesn't
they
a good defense help him? Couldn't you argue that if they're...
Why can't I spend my dollars in free agency, though? I talked about picks.
Oh, I see.
If I'm going to go after a premier defensive tackle or edge rusher, I could do that in free agency. And so I'm talking about picks. I want these guys to... I want you to build this core through the draft. The Bears have to build through the draft. It's something... I mean, we can go back. Is Justin the only number one pick on the roster right now?
Alex Leatherwood.
But by the Bears. By the Bears.
Yes, I think that's true.
That's
Riley Reiff was a number one pick, not by the Bears.
Everybody else is castoffs.
Everybody else is
N'Keal Harry was a number one pick, I believe.
Correct.
Yeah.
So those are your three. N'Keal Harry, Riley Reiff, Alex Leatherwood are number one picks by other teams that are here.
Yeah.
Bears number one pick.
They have four number one picks.
Yeah.
Okay. So built through the draft. Certainly, I think that's where the linemen can come, but you're going to have to spend too. I think you spend in free agency on the defensive line and offensive line. I draft offensive linemen like nonstop. I really would. Mm-hmm. I would just keep drafting offensive linemen. Tevin Jenkins looks like he could be a dude. There's just not a lot of certainty elsewhere, in my opinion, on the line. There's just not. And receiver wise, like I talking about skill positions, I think Cole Kmet, I'm going to give him another pass. Like I expected more from Cole Kmet this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give Cole Kmet another year, but wide receivers. Oh my God. Like, I don't know. Like Chase Claypool seems like a project.
I am not a huge fan.
I loved the trade at the time. I don't know what's going on.
I would like somebody to put together a supercut of every time Chase Claypool has been targeted. And I'd like to see how many times he has jumped to actually take advantage of his height and body strength. The one time I remember him jumping, the ball went through his hands. Now, this is a way of trying to figure out and describe what I perceive to be a lack of ball skills at the top of a route for Chase Claypool, which is an essential part of what you need from a big-bodied number one of his type.
Is he a number one, though?
No. There continues to be an assumption that he has potential to be a number one.
And he told you that.
Because his measurables told you that at a combine.
Yeah.
I have yet to see it at any point in his NFL career. And I'm worried.
Well, what concerns me, and I don't. This is where the offense. there's similarities. We talked about the copycat. It shouldn't be that hard to pick up in season. He's 22 targets with the Bears. 22. Like that, if so that's 5 games, 22 targets. If you take his last 5 games in Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
it's 32.
So he had 10 targets in his last 5 games in Pittsburgh?
He had 32. If you take away that, so his last 4 games in Pittsburgh, he had 30 targets. 30. He has 22 in 5 games with the Bears.
Wow.
That's what I'm kind of, I'm looking more at that.
They went away from him.
You're talking about jumping.
No, they totally went away from him. They actually, remember, they were putting him in the slot. They were like trying to find a use for him because they like Pickens outside.
But they were
like
still targeting him. Mm. They're not, he should be the only guy they're targeting outside of Cole Kmet right now. Because from a talent perspective, and it's just not happening. I mean, he had 6 targets on Sunday, yet, which is his high with the Bears.
There were a few more, and some of them were good. There were 2 pocket passer moments in a row to Claypool. There was a comeback route, which was effective and looked good. There was a crossing route right after it, and that was the one where he got hit and fumbled and stayed down for a while, and then eventually did come back in the game. But those moments have been few and far between. So far, that's really concerning me. As giving up a pick in the top 40 for Chase Claypool.
Yeah, I think that's why it's concerning, is because you know what that pick. But that's what I'm talking about. You need to know that we got to assume that Ryan Poles knows what he's doing in the draft. But this team needs multiple skill position players added to the core next year, or to the roster. Maybe not to the core, but to the roster. So you're going to have to probably spend and draft.
Ryan McGuffey has a very specific team and how they've built in his mind as he talks about this. I want to tap into that and see if I can argue about the best sport in the freaking universe. Next on 670 The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Well, that, and there's the name.
Afternoons on The Score.
1, 2, make you wanna.
Having some fun today with Ryan McGuffey. Danny Parkins off today. He'll be back tomorrow for the Parkinson Spiegel holiday party, which is going to be so damn fun. Make sure you're tuning in tomorrow and tuning in via Twitch, because we're going to have a lot of guests rolling around here in studio. We're going to do, I mean, it's a holiday party, so you know what happens at the holiday party. We're going to do karaoke tomorrow. There will be snacks. There will be beverages.
Yeah, what type of the beverages? That's why I'll be here.
Oh, yeah, just slide by. Beverages? Yeah. What, do we have beverages scheduled for any specific time tomorrow for the holiday party? I mean, I think there'll be a punch bowl that someone will spike on the early side of it.
Yeah, so I was just talking to Tandy about that. I'm definitely, there was this holiday cocktail that my family made growing up in a punch bowl, a non-alcoholic and an alcoholic version. I'm definitely going to make that, put a punch bowl in there. We've got a ton of food and booze coming from Rinaldi's, our favorite pizza place in this city.
The best.
We're doing a potluck. I know Tanny's making something. I'm making something. You're making something tonight.
Yep.
I bet Danny will just swing by the Jewel and grab a cheese board.
And a pound of shrimp.
it should be an all-day affair. We've got a couple guests in each hour. You know, I don't know how we feel about revealing now, because it's not like a big secret.
Nah, let's just hold on to it. Okay. It's a party. A lot of our friends are coming.
I'll give one guest. If people know Fichtner, we already talked about that.
Yeah.
But John Vincent's going to come by and sing some Christmas songs for us. We love that. We love John Vincent.
Dude.
It'll be a very fun show, and I'm still working on a couple bigger names. But it's the allure here outside of Fichtner is everybody in studio with us, just kind of like your family Christmas party, and we're going to have a good time.
Come on, man. John Vincent singing Christmas songs.
I love him.
At the holiday party.
Does 93.9 just kind of go on pause right there?
We're going to simulcast.
Yeah, we're going to simulcast.
We're going to alternate sentences in Spanish so Wojo can back off.
And there'll be 5 different versions of This Christmas by Donny Hathaway that will get played.
We're doing karaoke tomorrow as well. That'll be fun.
Yeah, we have a former NFLer coming in to sing karaoke tomorrow. Ooh. Oh my God!
I'll bring something. If I come by and bring, I won't show up empty-handed.
Oh, I like it. Yeah. I have a suggestion.
Okay,
Twix bar.
I failed today, didn't I?
No, it's okay.
My gift.
It's all right. It's all right. At top of the hour, we will reset some baseball rumors for you regarding both sides of town, and an all-time gun jump has taken place as well. Just an all-timer. So we'll get there. But we're talking about how to build around Justin Fields and this different version of a challenge that the Bears have and Bears fans have to do it. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Josh in Oak Lawn, who's on Parkinson Spiegel, with me, Spiegs, and Ryan McGuffey right here on The Score. What do you say, Josh?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for having me on the show.
Got it.
just want to make a quick point. I was kind of thinking back on the draft that Ryan Poles had last year and, you know, drafting Brisker, I believe, and obviously Gordon, right? Kind of not solidifying, but kind of adding some more depth to the safety. And I was looking at the free agency for 2013, and I think Marcus Davenport from New Orleans, I believe the edge rusher that was all over the place yesterday, he's a free agent, 25 years old. That'd be a good option, right? Solves your edge.
Yep.
And I was looking at the – I thought their center was on free agency, but I looked at the Kansas City center, I think, would be a good option as well. I mean, they've been doing pretty good, similar with the you know, with the system, and I think that puts you at a good spot going into the draft where you can kind of focus on, you know, really offensive side where you're kind of drafting wide receivers, you know, you're drafting possibly a tight end and even adding some depth to the cornerback. Right now you're going best player available. So I think that, you know, if you kind of focus on, you know, solidifying your edge, right, that adds the pressure and kind of solidifying your line through the center, I think that puts you at a good spot because in my eyes, right, you only, at least on the offensive line, that's your biggest piece that you're missing, which is the center part of it, along with some wide receivers to go along with it.
Look at you, Josh. Josh is on it. He's looking around. This is what Bears fans need to do. Scout the free agent rankings to be at certain positions of intrigue. Get ready to be a smart draft conversationalist and dissect what Ryan Poles and his staff do this coming off season. I like the idea of Davenport a lot. At center, for better or for worse, I think they're going to stick with Lucas Patrick. I think they're going to give him a chance to have that job. That's their guy that they've gone out and gotten. I think they like his leadership, and we'll see what happens with that.
I do like the idea of spending money for the trenches because we just talked about Philadelphia. You know, the best team on both sides of the ball on the lines.
Yeah.
And look at what that's led to.
Yeah.
You know, Jalen Hurts is upright. And when Jalen Hurts is upright, good things happen. And they traded for A.J. Brown. And I think that's the kind of model that you want to replicate. I mean, we talk copycat league.
Yeah.
You want to have the best offensive and defensive lines and then acquire skill position players. The Titans could use A.J. Brown. They couldn't afford A.J. Brown. So they had to trade him. And he got the big deal with the Eagles.
Javon Hargrave is a 30-year-old free agent to be on that Eagles defensive line. Go out and spend some money on Javon Hargrave.
Come on down.
Go ahead and bring him in.
Instead of
drafting a three tech and expecting him to step right in and be dominant at a young and cheap place, go ahead. You want to spend some money on Javon Hargrave? Yeah, Javon Hargrave and Marcus Davenport. Add yourself an edge rusher and add yourself an interior defensive lineman.
All in. And then draft like hell. Other linemen, offensive linemen. If you spend on the center too, spend on the center and then draft a couple more. I'm not sold on any one player on the Bears' offensive line outside, and I'm not even necessarily sold on Tevin Jenkins.
I'm sold on Tevin as
he looks
physical
like a stud.
Guard. I'm sold on Tevin as a tone setter and
attitude. Everything. I mean,
and I knew that they weren't sold.
Right.
You know, and we all had our concerns and our worries about Tevin. At least I admit that I did, but dude has won me over in a big way.
He might be the definition of buy-in, too. I mean, he was a cast-off at one point. He was MIA.
Yeah, he thought he was going to get traded or cut.
Yeah.
He didn't
and now
show
he's
up
the
for
one
a few
sure
days.
Thing that they have on that offensive
he's
line.
He's the best offensive lineman they have.
He bought in, and he's won. Pro Football Focus has him rated as one of the best offensive linemen in the game.
It's crazy.
So he's
it's
a sure,
amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's a credit to the player and to the coaching staff in front office for allowing him to buy in.
I think they like and believe in Braxton Jones as a dude who can learn some of the things he's not great at yet.
I'm okay with that as long as you add a few other pieces and allow a player like that to develop. When you're expecting a player to develop and having him do it on the fly week to week, then that's where problems happen.
Well, you know, you've got a quarterback with escapability.
Mm-hmm.
You have a offensive coordinator who understands that Chip Help and Max Protect have to be part of what you do.
True.
And they do it. And they protect their young edges for the most part.
We've been talking about how to build around Justin Fields. They might just have an offensive coordinator that knows what the hell he's doing,
He knows what he's doing.
So that's
look
big
what
of,
that does.
That's as big a part of the problem the Bears have had as having a quarterback.
Yeah, you know, this offensive line has not shown up as an incredibly obvious problem over the last 5 or 6 weeks and the amount that you expected.
Absolutely.
It hasn't.
I mean, they're one of the best rushing teams in the game.
So that's two things. That's scheme, and it's also the will of a defense that thinks they're going to get pushed around because you're a run-first team. All right, who do you want to cop? You want to cop what Buffalo did, right?
I do.
Tell us why.
I want to identify a quarterback. Now, what's interesting here is that it was a different regime that identified the quarterback.
Yeah.
But now you've identified the fact that Justin Fields is a dude. The Buffalo Bills identified Josh Allen and then spent three off seasons building around him. If you look at their drafts and free agencies,
they traded a pick that became Justin Jefferson, but they traded it for Stephon Diggs.
They traded it for Stephon Diggs, correct. They added another running back. I don't know if it might have been Devin Singletary.
It was
Devin Singletary. I think Knox was part of the addition on
Dawson
the,
Knox. Dawson the Knox. Tight end.
And they added a tackle and a guard, I believe. My point is, look at what they did for three consecutive off seasons.
Gave him what they thought
Gave
he needed.
Gave him everything that they thought he needed and were willing to die on that hill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want as a front office and as a team and as a fan of a team that's saying, if you're going to, who is Josh Allen on day one, right? Like, well, Josh Allen, the Wyoming quarterback that no one in Buffalo probably ever saw play. And now Josh Allen is,
it's their guy.
He's the number one seed in the AFC right now. 14-1 to win MVP. Sneaky.
Ooh, it is a little bit sneaky.
Sneaky, even though it's Mahomes.
Ryan McGuffey, you were a wide receiver in college. How was your guagi?
Yeah, you threw me off here. My what?
Your guagi.
My guagi.
This is very sad.
Guagi.
I mean, you think Ryan McGuffey, prominent member of the Chicago media, occasional listener to 670 The Score.
Occasional, yep.
Yeah, occasional. He doesn't know what guagi is. Go up and get it.
Go up and get it?
As a specific scouting trait, sir.
I'm currently standing on the Twitch channel.
Short doesn't matter. You could have good guagi.
Dude, I had a 32 vert.
Okay.
So that's a guagi.
And how about your ball skills? Like, could you high point it? Could you time it?
Well, I ran a 4.32 speed.
Okay.
So
it was pretty much
just go get it.
A 4.32?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, 32-inch vertical, so you got up to what, like 6'3 up in the air?
Yeah, how you doing?
But guagi is not about height. It's about your vertical. It's high pointing it.
When
you're going up. Yeah. It's your strength in fighting off a defender.
Right.
It's your strong fingers in making the catch.
Yeah, Joe Shane was more of like the third and sixth guy.
Yeah.
And I was
possession guy.
Yeah, I was like streaks and posts.
You were the burner.
We'd run a dig underneath and Shane on third and seven. He's our, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
all right.
Go up. So my guagi was the ability for my guagi was high.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's a scouting trait.
Yeah,
should be part of the scouting lexicon, regardless of the size of
1,000% agree. And that's what you're concerned about, Chase Claypool's guagi.
That's what I'm saying.
He brought me, look,
right?
Connected.
Yeah, I think we became a team today. One of the all-time gun jumps in the history of rumors. Coming up in a moment, and we'll reset exactly what's happening or not with Cubs and White Sox. It's Ryan McGuffey in for Parkins at Parkins and Spiegel on The Score.